هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور.
He it is who made the earth subservient to you. So traverse in its tracks and partake of the sustenance he has provided. The earth has not become subservient to man on its own, nor does the food which sustains man grow of its own accord. Out of his creative power and infinite wisdom, God has created the earth in such a way that it enables man to flourish. Again, it is God who has made the magnificent earth so calm and tranquil that man traverses in its tracks comfortably. He has provided such abundant sustenance for man to live in peace and bounty. If man is not negligent and acts on the basis of reason, he would realize the profound thoughtfulness behind God creating the earth as a suitable habitat for man and for providing in it immeasurable sustenance for him. To him will you be resurrected. While man traverses the earth and subsists on the sustenance bestowed by God, he should not lose sight of the fact that one day he will ultimately appear before God.
أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ
Do you feel secure that he who is in the heaven will not cause the earth to cave in with you, and then suddenly it will begin to rock violently?
This does not mean that God literally lives in the heavens. The present verse reflects the fact that when man wants to turn to God, he instinctively looks up to the heavens. Furthermore, when he prays to God, he raises his hands towards the heaven. Likewise, when he is overpowered with affliction and feels helpless, he again turns upwards to the heavens to convey his grievance to God. Or when a misfortune suddenly befalls him, he tends to say that it has descended on him from heaven. In the same way, when he receives something in an extraordinary way, he says that it has come from the heavens. Likewise, the scriptures revealed by God are called heavenly books. Abu Dawud cites a hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira that, Once someone called on the Prophet, peace be upon him, along with a black slave girl, saying that it has become obligatory on him to free a believing slave. He asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, if he could free that slave girl for this purpose. The Prophet, peace be upon him, asked her, Where is Allah? In reply, she pointed her finger above. Then he asked her, Who am I? She first pointed to him and then to the heavens above. What she meant was that God had sent him down. Upon noting this, he directed, Set her free, she is a believer. Almost a similar report features in Al-Muwatta, Muslim's and Nasai's hadith collections. Regarding Khola bint Talaba, Umar told people that she was a person whose complaint reached the seven heavens. A detailed report about this is included in Note 2 on Surah Al-Mujaddala. All this indicates that it is part of man's nature that when he thinks of God, he associates him with the heavens above rather than with the earth below. Accordingly, the Quran speaks of God who is in the heavens. This should not, however, give rise to the notion that the Quran locates him in the heavens. For verse 3 of Surah Al-Mulk declares that it is God who has created the seven heavens, one upon another. Of similar thrust is verse 115 of Surah Al-Baqarah proclaiming, To whichever direction you turn, you will be turning to God.
أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ
Do you feel secure that he who is in the heaven will not let loose upon you a storm of stones?
The truth highlighted here is that man's very survival and safety on earth depends wholly on God's grace. Man cannot enjoy his life on earth through his own strength, for God takes care of all the needs of man and ensures his safety and security. At any moment, at his single gesture, a devastating earthquake may turn man's habitat into his burial place. Or a strong storm can cause such a terrible calamity that it will bring towns and villages to the ground. Equally vulnerable is man to other disastrous natural calamities such as a storm.
Then shall you know what my warning is like.
reference is made to the warning delivered by the Prophet, peace be upon him, to the Meccan disbelievers through the Quran. They are asked to give up their disbelief in polytheism. If they refuse to believe in the call to monotheism presented to them, God's punishment will overtake them.
وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ
Those who came before them also gave the lie to the messengers. Then how awesome was my chastisement?
This alludes to the destruction of earlier communities for their crime of having rejected their messengers.
أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ
Have they not seen birds above them spreading and closing their wings, with none holding them except the Merciful One?
Each and every bird flying in the air manages to do so thanks to God's grace and protection, for it is He who has created birds in a mold that they can fly. Furthermore, He instructed them how to fly. Again, it is He who has subjected winds to such laws which facilitate the flight of bodies heavier than air. The Merciful God holds every flying bird in the air. Otherwise, whenever Allah withdraws this protection, they are liable to crash to the ground.
He oversees everything.
Not only birds, but all that exists in the universe owe their survival to God's mercy and care, for He alone provides every being with the means essential for his existence. It is He who ensures the supply of basic necessities to all of His creatures.
أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ
Which is your army that will come to your aid against the merciful Lord? But the unbelievers are in utter delusion.
An alternative translation would be, Who is there other than the merciful Lord who comes to your aid as would your own army? Our translated version, however, fits in more with the context of the next verse.
أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عُتُوٍّ وَنُفُورٍ
Who shall provide for you if he withholds his sustenance? Nay, but they persist in rebellion and aversion.
أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَىٰ أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ
Who is better guided, he who walks groveling on his face, or he who walks upright on a straight path?
It brings to mind the image of cattle with their heads cast down, trudging along the track on which they have been put.
قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ
Say, He, it is who has brought you into being, and has given you hearing and sight. And has given you hearts to think and understand. How seldom do you give thanks?
Man is asked to reflect. He is not created like cattle. Therefore, he should not have blindly followed the errors prevalent in the world. He should better consider the way pursued by him, whether it is right or wrong. Man is endowed with the faculty of hearing in order to distinguish between good and bad. He's not supposed to ignore altogether the person who explains to him the distinction between good and evil. Nor is he expected to persist in error by way of clinging to false notions he already had in his mind. He's blessed with eyes so as not to follow others blindly. Rather, he should observe the signs scattered from the earth to the heavens, which unmistakably underscore the oneness of God, which is the Prophet's core message. These signs in the universe do not suggest any multiplicity of gods or the absence of God. Man is endowed with a heart and mind so that he may reflect on his course of action. He is not supposed to imitate whatever someone has introduced in this world. He should better judge as to what is sound and what is not. God has endowed human beings with knowledge and intelligence, sight and hearing, so that they might arrive at the truth. But they are ungrateful, insofar as they use these faculties for all kinds of purposes except the one for which they were supposed to be used, to know the truth.
قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ
Say, Allah, it is who multiplied you in the earth, and to him you will be mustered.
All men will be resurrected after their death, from every nook and corner of earth, and presented before God.
وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
They say, if you are truthful, tell us, when will this promise of the hereafter be fulfilled?
Their query was not aimed at finding out the time or date of the resurrection. They were not ready to believe in the doctrine of the hereafter, even if they were informed of its date and timing. On the contrary, they regarded this happening as impossible and illogical. They raised this question only with a view to rejecting this belief. For them, it was something improbable, and hence they asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, to specify its date. They rather demanded that the spectacle of the resurrection be witnessed by them, and this alone would convince them. Let it be clarified that rational arguments alone can persuade one of this doctrine of the hereafter. The Quran therefore advances several arguments for it. As to its exact date, only an ignorant person can raise this question. Were it to be revealed, it will not make any difference. The disbeliever might say, I will believe in it when it does occur on your specified date, but how could I believe now that it will definitely occur on that very day?
قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ
Say, Allah alone knows about that, and I am no more than a plain warner.
The Prophet's reply to the disbelievers was simple. The last day is imminent, and this should suffice for alerting people. God alone knows when it will happen, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, does not have this knowledge. As a warner, he's not obliged to possess this information. Let us illustrate the above further with this analogy. Only God knows when a particular person will die. However, it is in everyone's knowledge that all living beings will die one day. We should be concerned only about our preparation for the last day. It is immaterial as to when it will happen.
فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنتُم بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ
When they will see it near at hand, the faces of all those who had denied it will be distraught, and then they will be told, "This is the doom which you used to ask for."
Their condition will be akin to that of a culprit sentenced to capital punishment on his way to his execution.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ
Say to them, Did you ever consider whether Allah destroys me and those that are with me, or shows mercy to us, who can protect the unbelievers from a grievous chastisement?
When the Prophet, peace be upon him, embarked on his mission in Mecca, and the members of different Quraysh families started embracing Islam, the people of many a household began to curse him and his companions. They even resorted to the use of magic and charms in their bid to exterminate him. They also hatched conspiracies designed to assassinate him. It was in this context that they were told that it was not important for them whether the Prophet, peace be upon him, died or continued to live. They should rather be concerned with thinking about how they will save themselves from God's chastisement.
قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ
Say to them, He is merciful, and it is in Him that we believe, and it is in Him that we put all our trust. Soon will you know who who is in manifest error.
The believers have firm faith in God, whereas the disbelievers deny Him. The former repose full trust in Him, while the latter rely on their allies, their resources, and their gods other than the one true God. Given this, only the former, not the latter, deserve God's mercy.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ.
Say to them, did you even consider if all the water that you have in the wells were to sink down into the depths of the earth, who will produce for you clear flowing water?
Is there any other God that has the power to bring back the water which sinks down into the depths of the earth? Since there is no one to do so, a fact recognized by the disbelievers as well, they should consider as to who deserves worship, God or their idols who have no power to restore it. They should reflect deeply and ask their conscience, who is in manifest error, the believers or the polytheists?